A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him to be sent him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing that what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. May we be blessed in having heard the word of God. Pray with me, please. We thank you, O Lord, for the touch that you continue to give to us, for the love that you continue to express for us. And now help us as we go through these readings together, as we spend this time together. Open to us that which you would have us learn, so that we might live as your people in this world you have made. And let us give you the glory, for we come to you who are worthy of that glory alone. Amen. Our skin is remarkable stuff. My mother, when I would opine on things medical, used to say to me, "Listen, you're the wrong kind of doctor." But I do know enough about anatomy to know the wonder of this skin that we inhabit. I also know from experiences both literal and figurative that we're all thin-skinned. Thus, when we say that something is only skin deep, we're talking about something rather shallow. I think what we see in the scripture lessons today calls us to look beyond something only skin deep. Indeed, to understand that God's will is to touch us beyond skin deep. Leprosy is a disease of the skin, Hansen's disease. It attacks the skin and it afflicts the human body with horrible disfigurement. The man who came to Jesus today in the scripture came at his peril. He was to stand a ways off. He was to hold a bell. He was to cover himself so that no one could see him. And he was to cry and ward off everyone, "Unclean, unclean." They were the outcasts of society. And so this was a disease of the skin that was not only skin deep. And they were outcasts in society well into our modern age simply because this disease was so horrible. The leper was denied even the most basic comfort of being touched by another human being, since the fearsome disease was communicated by contact, and no one wanted to get to the point where your nose or your fingers or other parts of you were simply falling off. Being ostracized wasn't just the lot of lepers in biblical times. It continued well into the 19th century. The Hawaiian island of Molokai was a leper colony. In fact, there are still a few people living there today. Simply, even though they're on the new drugs and show no signs of the disease, they're still lepers. And they've lived there all their life and they're too old to move. But they tell stories about the early days. They remember that the boat would bring the lepers to the lagoon and they'd be tossed into the water and told to swim for it. They were simply left there to die. Until all of a sudden, a Belgian Roman Catholic priest by the name of Damien de Wooster came to their aid. He helped to improve the quality of their life. And after one Sunday, beginning his homily at Mass saying, "We lepers," he died himself a leper among them. Molokai and the lepers are being brought back to our attention, not only because of the gospel for today, but because the Roman Church is making Father Damien de Wooster a saint. In him, I see someone who touched and was touched. I see someone who worked beyond skin deep. Maybe there was something, too, that told that leper in Mark's gospel that he could be bold enough to come to Jesus and beg a favor. "If you will, if you choose, you can make me clean." Jesus looked at him, this creature of his own making become his very brother in our skin, and he pitied him. In our age, pity has taken on a meaning different from the biblical understanding. Now, pity is a feeling, as Webster's defines it, of sympathy with the grief of or misery of another, compassion or fellow suffering. There is a connotation, though, of condescension in this understanding, because the biblical notion of pity or mercy is one of powerful feelings of gut-wrenching, heart-rending love that produces acts that relieve and heal those who inspire them. Jesus' pity is of this latter type. One author has commented, "Jesus' compassion is not skin deep. It is an upheaval of the depths of his being. There is no true compassion without passion. Those who are compassionate really suffer in their own persons. Compassion is a communion in suffering. It is impossible for the Father to remain impassive when the children suffer, and among them the eternal Son made a human being. The Father's suffering is a great mystery, and when we want to speak about it, we stammer miserably. However, it is urgent to reject from our mind the idea that the Father, because of the perfection of his nature, looks from afar on human suffering without himself being painfully involved and wounded." The cure of the leper orients my meditation in that direction. I cannot believe that Jesus does not suffer as much as the poor sick man, and that the Father does not suffer as much as Jesus. That's the point of our faith, that God has identified with us completely. Identified with the leper, Jesus says, "I do choose. Be made clean." What is more, where a word would have sufficed, Jesus stretches forth his hand and he touches him. Why? Well, I think for several reasons. First of all, I think we all know the importance of touch to humans. If you didn't look at those children and the way they clung to mom or dad and the importance of touch, you need help. It's pretty obvious. Touch is an indication of intimacy. In every high school psychology book, there's material on the importance of touch and the result of a decades-old study on its effects on infants and their development. Those infants who were touched, who were cuddled, who were paid attention to, thrived. And those who received just an absolute minimum of contact were developmentally disabled. Jesus touches us to draw the leper into the realm of divine human intimacy. He touches us for the same reason. And second, he touches him to demonstrate a greater truth. Origen, who was the great spiritual writer of the 4th century, said this: "And why did he touch him, since the law forbade the touching of a leper? He touched him to show that all things are clean to the clean, because the filth that is in one person does not adhere to others, nor do external uncleanness defile the clean of heart. So he touches him in his untouchability, that he might instruct us in humility, that he might teach us that we should despise no one or abhor them or regard them as pitiable because of some wound of their body or some blemish for which they might be called to render an account." So stretching forth his hand to touch, the leprosy immediately departs. The hand of the Lord is found to have touched not a leper, but a body made clean. Let us consider here, beloved, Origen writes, "If there be anyone here that has the taint of leprosy in his soul, or the contamination of guilt in his heart, if he has, instantly adoring God, let him say, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.'" That touch of Jesus spoke volumes. That touch speaks to us of the need to be healed at a level that is more than skin deep. The touch has to go inside us to heal and cleanse from the inside out. Jesus told the man to keep quiet about what had happened and to follow the precepts of the law. But the man got caught up in the sight of his skin, at the healing on the surface, and he didn't allow the real, the deep healing to take place within himself. What we're talking about here is a question of healing that leads to change. All of us talk a great deal about change, but we don't want to do anything about it. People go to their physicians looking for a miracle cure, for a silver bullet, if you will, that will take care of their problem without them having to do anything. And confession being good for the soul in the midst of one's flock, I am one of those people when it comes to weight loss. It's not because I can't do it, it's just because I won't. Because that's not what I want. I've been told by my physician that if I watch what I eat and exercise, I can lose weight. But that's not what I want. I want something that will magically melt away the pounds while you eat as much as you like and do whatever you like. I should have had lips read that. Unfortunately, those miracle cures are the stuff of bad infomercials that are just designed to lift the weight from your wallet and not from your body. What's true for me is true for so many who are simply unwilling to change their lifestyle, their pace, in order to be healed. And by the way, I've made a good Lenten resolution that starting in Lent, I'm going to make some changes. I'm reminded of a priest in the community that was in before I left the monastery, old Father Kenneth, who was told by the doctor, "Father, you've got to quit smoking and drinking if you're going to live longer." And Kenneth's response was, "Doctor, it will only seem longer." He died not long after that. And ask me sometime about Father Kenneth's stories. I'll tell you a few that will curl your hair. I've ruined my wife's impression of monastic life. Change has to come from the inside. He didn't want to change, so he didn't. And change will only come when one wills to discipline. And the word ascesis means discipline. Ascetic means discipline. When we discipline ourselves to change. What I'm talking about with individuals and their health is also true of both government and of churches. We love to talk about change. God knows during the election, we heard change bantered about on both sides of the electoral line. So change is an acceptable bipartisan concept, so I can talk about it from the pulpit. Everybody wants to talk about change. Everybody does, but nobody wants to do anything about change. In fact, we'll talk something to death given half the chance. We'll discuss every angle of a problem of church growth or the need to increase giving or reaching out to help those who are less fortunate. Whatever problem or whatever ill is confronting us, we'll talk about it. We'll chew on it. We'll take reams of minutes. We'll report on it. We'll hear back from the assembly. We'll all say, yes, something has to be done about that. And then we'll go back and we'll talk some more. And we end up with excruciatingly precise analyses of the problems, but nothing has changed. Nothing's been done. When Naaman came to Elisha for healing, he had a whole set of expectations of what would happen for him to be healed. Elisha met none of them, but told him instead, go and do something remarkably simple. Naaman balked, but his servants talked sense to him. Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? Jesus said to the leper, not all sorts of ritual. He said, I do choose. Be clean. You see, the healing is there for all of us. But we have to appropriate the healing at a level that is more than skin deep. And thus Paul writes of the discipline that we must employ if we're going to grow as spiritual people. The discipline which leads us not to run aimlessly or to box as though beating the air, calls us to become who we say we are, to do what we say we'll do. And we do this for a prize that's much greater than an athlete's laurel wreath or even greater than multiple gold medals, which, by the way, from news reports, don't necessarily guarantee that we'll act with good judgment either as a result of winning them. We do this, why? For the prize of oneness with God, a prize that is already before us, a prize that is already there to us, a prize that is already in us. If we will simply reach out, pick it up, and allow it to touch and to heal us in our inmost selves. Pun intended, the story of Jesus and the leper is touching. Jesus was moved deeply by the man's plight, yet the man was not changed, save on the surface. People still come looking for the surface touch of Christ in their lives. They the easy way of expecting him to make them different without them ever having to do anything. And that's simply not the way it is. If we are to change, if we are to grow, if we are to be the people that God wants us to be and to achieve the divine destiny which is ours, well, we have to cooperate with what God is doing. We have to do what the commercial says. Just do it. As we cooperate, it will show in our lives. We will begin to love people where they are. Like Rob said, we don't necessarily always like our brother, but we love him or her. Okay? We will begin then to love people where they are, accepting those who are different from us, even celebrating their diversity rather than placing expectations on them and holding them up to our agendas. We will then begin to forgive people deeply, not holding grudges. We will begin to be instruments of God's caring, extending our hand as did Jesus to offer healing, to offer a comforting touch, to offer companionship on the way. We can talk about all of this. We can talk about spiritual growth. We can talk about the growth of this church. And it will all remain the same if we're always looking for the quick fix, no discipline way out. But my dear sisters and brothers in the faith, whom I think know me well enough now to know that I preach to myself every time I preach to you, the truth is the growth, the wonder that we so desire will come only when we're living the change at more than a skin deep level. Jesus wants to touch us deeper than skin deep. Jesus wants to love us with measureless love. We can't look for that touch. We can't experience that love and remain unchanged. Damien de Veuster knew that touch, and it changed him. And he freely gave of himself for the good of others. Action then grows out of being touched by God. If we've been truly touched by God in Christ, it will show. And it will be beyond skin deep. Now then, if we're touched beyond skin deep, the operative question becomes, as it is every Sunday, how then shall we live? How then shall we live? Amen.